We are holding on Mammalophoma days, the first line of the white lines. We started talking about, we talked about the case in our Mishnah where a person, where Reuben gets Shimon to admit that he owes him money, but then afterwards Shimon claims he pays him back. We talked about whether it was with Edom or without Edom. That brought us into a discussion in general when he first lends him, when he lends him money and then says that I want you to only pay me back with Edom, whether the other person can be believed to say that I paid you in front of Edom and they left him in Dinas Hayam, etc. There is, by the way, I didn't mention yesterday, but there's Machlokas we're showing him within that, whether he can only make such a condition at the time of the halva or even later. An argument that's brought, that some of the Rishonim bring to say that he can do it even afterwards, is
disagreed with that.
I just said, you have different opinions in halacha, you have different opinions among the poskim, whether everybody agrees he can make that condition at the time of the loan. There's no question about that. The question is, can Reuven, the Malve, impose that condition after the fact, after he made the loan, at some point before the loan is paid back, I want you to pay me back only with Edim. So some of the Shonim say yes on the grounds that Eved Loiva Ish Malva, that the Loiva is subject to the Malva and his condition. But others say that not, because you can only make such an agreement originally when he first agreed to accept the loan. You can't unilaterally make it afterwards. Obviously, if they both agree to it, then yes, of course, everybody would agree that such a thing.
Even if the borrower is a smoker.
Okay, so simon. So now we're going to have a simon for. Now we're going to have a. So now we're going to have a number of halachas that are a number of halachas that relate to paying back debts. So different details about paying back debts and a simon for them. Simon Reuven Meshimon the Tana Hilchsa Yazfi Apara Ploni Ploni Afti Sitroi Dehimenusa Kebetrei. This is a dozen or so halachas. A catchword for each one of these. A keyword for each one of these halachas, and in connection with paying back debts.
Reuven is the first halacha. Shimon is the second halacha.
No, the first one actually is Reuven Bishop. The Tonu Hilchsa is the next one. Yazfi is the next one. Upara is the next one after that, etc.
It's all debt repayment halacha.
No, these are all different halachas having to do with repayments of debt. Yeah. Okay. So, case number one. Ahuda Amalei L'chavrei. So, one person says to the other, the Malva says to the Loiva, Ki Paratin, when you pay me back, Parin Le Ba'api Reuven Bishimon. I want you to pay me back specifically in the presence of Reuven and Shimon. That they should be the Edim. Ozolapari ba'apitre ma'alma. So instead, the loiva went and paid him in front of two other people, not Reuven and not Shimon. Does that work? Amar Abaya, Abaya. Well, does that work? In other words, do we say that's it? He paid off the debt, and therefore there's nothing more to talk about. Amar Abaya, so what's the problem? Ba'apit betre amale. So fine, he said to pay him back in the presence of two. Ba'apit betre pari. He paid him back in the presence of two Edim. Fine, he specified Reuven and Shimon, but we shouldn't assume that that means that. Okay, so Rashi understands that the scenario over here is that the Malva says, I don't believe that this Reuven and Shimon are valid Edim. I think they're false Edim. Tosfos and many of the other Rishonim argue with that, because what gives the Malva the right to just passel to Edim just on his own say so? So they understand, rather, and some of them even have a gusa to this effect, that the problem is he paid him in front of two people who now are not available. If those two people were available, then there'd be no question. Of course it would be valid. The Rambam, in fact...
Don't they have both to agree on how they could be able to... According to that... Okay, so one second.
Sorry, what it is according to Tosfos and everybody else, the reason why the Malva has the ability to say only Reuven and Shimon, effectively what he can say is, I'm accepting only them as Edim. I'm willing to accept only them as Edim.
The Malva says that.
The Malva is not saying, in other words, now that you brought these other two people, I think they're liars. Fine, they may well be telling the truth, but I don't know whether they are or not. Actually, I was right the first time. I'm sorry. No, Tosfos does say that no. The case is over here where again, if he had the other two Edim and they were present right now, so Rashi would say that the Malva still has the ability to say, okay, but I don't trust these other Edim. Tosfos and everybody else says no, he does not have the ability to say that, but he can say, you Edim are not available. You're claiming they went off to Medinat Yam. I specifically told you, Reuven and Shimon, so that's one second. So Abaya says, doesn't matter. He said you paid in the presence of two. Okay, so it was two different people. Big deal. You should still believe him. Amalei Rava, but Rava says no. Lahachi ka amalei ba'apid Reuven v'Shimon, the exact reason why the Malva specifically mentioned Reuven and Shimon kihechid le nidchiye was specifically for this purpose, so he can't fob them off on other Edim. In other words, again, according to Rashi, in other words, the point is that Malva has the ability to say, I don't have to trust any other Edim. I trust Reuven and Shimon. I don't trust anybody else. You're bringing me Levi and Yehuda, but I don't know whether Levi and Yehuda are valid Edim. According to Tosfos and everybody else, no, what it means is if the Malova were in fact to bring Levi and Yehuda to Beis Din, and Beis Din interrogates them and everything checks out, there's no question. Of course the loan is paid off. Okay, it wasn't the right thing to do, but nevertheless it still works. What we're talking about over here is that Levi and Yehuda went off to Medina Faya. So now can we accept that Shimon in fact validly paid off?
I have no reason that I should
should be able to say, I have no reason to believe you because your Edom are not available. I specifically mentioned Reuben and Shimon because I know they weren't planning to leave town and therefore that they'd be available to testify.
Right.
Now that you don't have Edom, tough luck. You made you ruined things.
Abaya
would be
agreeing
to Abaya would still argue that he still believes the lawyer to say that he paid back in the present of Aiden. It wasn't the same Aiden,
but it's still Aiden.
Well, I have a question.
So according to Rashi, no one would believe that.
According to Rashi,
even Abaya.
According to Rashi, right. The Malva has the ability to say, I'm not obligated to accept any other Aiden other than Roman.
My question wants to address that.
Yeah.
The question that I have is the following.
Yes.
The aiding condition was made for the initiation of the love.
Not necessarily.
Let me finish.
Okay.
The aiding was, we assume that it was done at the initiation of the loan, it's the condition attached to the loan itself. And therefore,
the loan has to follow these conditions. And Lord Sainz's line says that two other aidings exist. If, on the other hand, the condition
condition for the repayment of the loan, and maybe he can.
Okay, so one second. So the Rambam goes on to say, we were discussing the Rambam yesterday where he mentioned the different girsa in the previous part of the Gemara where that the Rif and the Rimigash had, and he argues with it. So the Rambam brings in this connection also that he brings from some of the Goyim, and also meaning the Rif and so forth, that he means that the same thing. If he were to pay him in front of other Edim, we wouldn't believe him even if he brought these Edim. The Rambam again says this is a big mistake. If the Edim come, that he paid in front, to say that other Edim shouldn't be believed at all. The fact is, if other Edim come and we check them out and we find that they're valid Edim, then of course he paid back. Okay, so he didn't do it the right way, but nevertheless, a payment is still a payment. Only if the Edim are not available, then you can have reason to argue, like Rava says, that he has nothing to substantiate his claim, and therefore he's going to have to pay.
But
if they are available, says the Rambam, there's no question. That's the Rambam holds that, and again, some many other Rishonim hold the same way. Also, other Rishonim, the Rambam himself says, hold differently. They say that he was told to pay in the presence of Reuven and Shimon. The other guy has the ability to say, even if the Edom are actually present, which is basically what Rashi is saying, doesn't matter. I don't accept any other agent, or you change the terms or whatever. Okay, the halacha is like Rava, which is that the Malva does have the ability to say that. Again, how we understand what Rava is saying, do we understand when the other Edom are present, or do we understand, like Tosfos says, and like the Rambam says, only if the other Edom are not present, that's a different question.
So the halacha is like Rava.
The halacha is like Rava, but how we understand
but
Rava is the question.
To Rashi, the halacha is like Abaya or Rava if the people are...
Yeah, I got that.
Again, according to Rashi, Rashi didn't mention it at the wrong point. Okay, onward. Another case. Ahuda Amale Lachavre, a person says to the other, to the Malva says to the Loiva, keep parously, when you pay me back, parently ba'afe betray the ton of Hilfza. I want you to pay me back specifically in the presence of two people who learn halacha, because that way he considers that they're reliable.
Wait, halacha in general, people who know how to learn halacha, people who know how to learn a simon and shulchan aruch.
Also, parad ben delay the delay. Well, what happened is the loiva paid him one on one. There were no edim present at all. Not who know halachas and not who don't.
Right.
Here also, by the way, that Amma mentions in this connection that there was a different girsa that the Gaonim and the Rif had that said that he paid him in front of two other people. And so the question is he believed or not? But Amma's girsa is, as we have it here in the Gemara, is that he paid him without any edim present. What happened was it's nisu hanach zuzi. What happened was now before the case came to Beis Din, an onus happened and the Malva lost the money. So the Malva had physically received the money, but now there was an onus. So he wants to claim that he wants to claim I haven't been properly paid back. Also, Kamei Rav Nachman, the case is brought to Rav Nachman. Amalei, the Malva says, Ein Kabuli Kibaltinu Mineh, Ein Kabuli Kibaltinu Mineh. Yes, I did receive it from him. However, since it was without Edim at all, let alone the kind of Edim that I asked for, Derech Pikodin, and I intended to accept it from him, not as a repayment of a loan, but rather as a Pikodin. Amina, as a deposit. In other words, it's not considered that the loiva has actually paid off the debt yet. It's going to be considered for the time being as if he just deposited it with me until the Edim show up. Amina, so I figured lahevi gaboy pikadin, let it remain as a pikadin by me. Admisru remains shrei de tonu lochza until we are able to get two people who actually learn halacha, some akayim to know, and then he'll be able to fulfill it tonight. So meanwhile, the malva is arguing, I am a shomer chinam on this money. Effectively, in other words, now the taina is being flipped around. The malva is claiming that as far as the money actually for the time being was still considered to belong to the loiva. If something had happened to it while it was in loiva's possession, he'd still have to pay. Even now that it was in my possession, though, it wasn't that the loan was repaid. It was I was a shomer for him, but I was a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is potter for him sin. Even a shomer sachar is potter for him sin. Therefore, I should be potter. Therefore, it should be considered that the loan was not repaid back yet, and therefore, I demand repayment.
Except that he's adding to the...
Wow, a second. Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman answers him, Kiven de komodis de vade shakaltinu mineh. Well, since you yourself admit that you did
right.
Take the money from him, peroi mal yahavi, therefore it is considered a full-fledged payback, because dvarim shabalev enim dvarim, you don't have the ability, never mind what he has unilaterally the ability to change. The fact is this was dvarim shabalev. He didn't say anything. He just had it in mind, and having in mind doesn't count for anything. Never mind mutual consent. The point is he had it in his mind. He didn't say anything. If he said something, the other guy might have consented or might have not. Okay, whatever, fine. The point is that it was just in his mind. Yeah. So if you want that he should be able to fulfill it tonight, then go bring the money and fine, then he'll be able to fulfill it tonight. Daha novar of Sheshis, because after all, right here in the base din, we have me and Rav Sheshis, me, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshis, the Tanina Hilchza, which we have not only learned halachas, but v'sifra, v'tesepta, v'kula tamuda, where we learned the sifra, v'sifri, and tesepta, and the entire Gemara. So you want him, Zavka, Tosfos says that he's saying it as kind of a joke to the guy. You really think that it's important the guy should fulfill his condition, then fine, you have to do your side of it, you have to bring the money, and then fine, you have people available, you have me and Rav Sheshis available to do it. But in other words, the main point Rav Nachman is telling him is, no reason to think that he should still have to do anything. He gave it to you. It was a repayment. He did it the wrong way because he was supposed to do it in the presence of Edim, who teach halachas. Okay, he did wrong by doing that, but nevertheless, the money was still paid back. So that answers your question from before. Even though, yes, the Malva did make a condition. Again, this is according to the Rambam's understanding. According to the other Girsa, it would be different. But that's fine. You have no ability. That's fine. You, the Loiva, are not supposed to be changing things. If you were told to do it in the presence of people paying halachas, you're supposed to do that. But after all, said and done, if he did pay it back, and you, Malva, yourself, are admitting that he paid back, and your hajah is the equivalent of Edim, then that's it. There's nothing more to talk about. You said you were going to pay. We had a condition, whether at the time of the loan or according to the Rishonim, that you can make the condition after the fact and whatever, that you will give me it in the presence of people who teach halachas. You didn't do that. Therefore, come back another time when you have those people. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Another case. One person says to the other, give me back the 100 zuz that I lent you. The other person says, there was no such thing ever happened. You never lent me that money. Also, I see sadi. Such a thing never happened. Also, I see sadi. So now the malva went and brought witnesses, the ozfe, that he did lend him, upare, but also that he had paid him back. So the question is, now what? The Edim are saying that he paid him back. So on the face of it, there's no claim. So Omer Abaya, my never. So Abaya says, so what do you want us to do? Inu Amri, Inu Amri Pare. The same Edim who say that he lent him are the same ones who said he paid him back. On the other hand, no. Rava Omar, no. Rava says that's not the halacha. Rather, Kala Omer Loi Lovisi Ka Omer Loi Paraiti Dami. If somebody says I didn't borrow, amounts to saying I didn't pay back. Because what does it mean when he says Lahiri Dvar Ma'olam? Mean I never borrowed money from you. Fine. So what we say is the fact that you're claiming you never borrowed money, that's contradicted by Edim, because Edim said you borrowed. The fact that your claim, but your claim include, your claim implicitly includes that you didn't pay back because you yourself are saying such a thing never happened, and if you never borrowed, then obviously you never paid back. Fine, the Edom are saying you paid back, but you yourself are claiming that you didn't pay back implicitly. Hadah bal din kamei Edom dami. Your Hadah itself is considered like Edom, so therefore we ignore that part of the Edom's Edos, and we say therefore you are obligated to pay.
But wait a minute, if you're saying that it's the equivalent of saying
When he says, we have to break it down into two stages. It means on the one hand, you're claiming you never borrowed. On the other hand, therefore, you're claiming you never paid back because you had nothing to pay back. Well, you're contradicted by the Edom because you obviously did borrow.
Right.
We're left with your Hadar that you didn't pay back. The Edom are saying you paid back. Very nice. But your Hadar is worth more than the Edom. Hadar spalled in Kamea Edom. Yeah, Hadar spalled in.
Right.
Kamea Edom. It's like 100 Edom. In other words, So therefore, Kamehidim, it's like 100 Edom. So in other words,
it's much stronger.
So that's it, therefore. So therefore, you have to pay. And that is, in fact, the halacha. Tosfos points out that if he had not actually said, Lahoy Dvar Ma'olam, if he had just said, Loi Lovisi, if he had said, I didn't borrow, that would be different, because we could reinterpret Loi Lovisi to mean that right now I'm not a position of being a borrower because I did borrow, but I did already pay back. So then we wouldn't say that he's being contradicted by the Edom necessarily. When he says Lahoy Dvar Ma'olam, then there's no way to reinterpret what he says. Then he obviously means such a thing never happened, as opposed to Loi Lovisi, which could conceivably mean I'm not right now in a position, I never left myself in a position of being a loiva because I already paid it back.
No, Loi Lovisi means I have
we could reinterpret it. Tosfos brings, for example, based on a different Gemara, where a person says Loi Nitmesi, where we can understand it to mean that I'm not Tomei anymore because I toveled. So the same thing over here. Loi Lovisi could mean I'm not a borrower anymore because I paid back. But if he says I need Loi Lovisi right now, right? But on the other hand, if he says Lahoy Dvar Ma'olam, then that doesn't work.
Okay.
Also, Tosfos gives another answer that anyway it's different over here. It's based in, so therefore even if he had said Loi Lovisi, we're not gonna try to reinterpret what he says. If it's outside based in, like the case of Nitmesi or whatever, or Loi Nitmesi, fine, then we can reinterpret what he says.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the halacha, and in general, this becomes a general rule in halacha, which the Gemara mentions in a few other places, that if a person says Loi Lovisi, it amounts to saying Loi Paraiti, and therefore once we have Edom, then he borrowed, then that's it. He himself has admitted he hasn't paid, therefore he has to pay up.
And if he doesn't have Edom?
If the Gemara doesn't have Edom, then there's nothing to talk about. Then you have Kofa Hakol, Min HaTorah, Min Rabbanim, there's no Shura. The Shura Tessis, as we discussed before, the guy swears a Shura Tessis, and he's Pater, and that's that.
Okay.
Another case. One guy says to the other, "Give me the 100 zuz that you bought, that you owe me." Amalei, and so the loiva answers, "Loi praticha b'tnei Pliny or Pliny? Didn't I pay you back in front of Pliny and Pliny?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, also Pliny and Pliny, those two Edim came and they said, "Amri loi hoyer dvar ma'olam." They said, "No such thing ever happened. You never paid back in our presence." So Sovereign of Sheshes Lamei Mahoksa Kakran. So Rav Sheshes figured to say, okay, well now this guy has a chazaka as being a kofer. Later, we're not going to allow him now to swear that he paid.
Just one time
because it doesn't matter. The fact that he was kofer and now we have Edom against him is enough to make him that now he's a chosh, now he's choshered. And now he's choshered and now he can't swear. But Rava says, not necessarily, because like a rule we had before, called Milsa Dele Ramiya Alei Inish, something that's not with the responsibility of a person to remember, Lava Daiti, who is not necessarily on his mind. Like this, in other words.
You mean the Edom or...
No, so one second. So that's the difference. So first, let's talk according to Rashi.
Okay.
Rashi understands that we're talking about the Loive. Given that at the time of the Halva, there was no thing that said, you have to pay me back in the presence of Edom. So therefore, he didn't have it wasn't part of his mental image of this halva that it has to be paid back in the presence of Edom. So now, when he's being told, he went and paid back. He didn't think to keep in mind was it in the presence of Edom or not, because there was no such condition in effect that he had to pay back in the presence of Edom. Now, when the malva comes and tells him, pay me back. And then now he first thinks maybe there were Edom. Okay, when he says that there were Edom, didn't I pay you back in front of Pliny and Pliny? He doesn't mean absolutely for sure. As far as I remember, that's how it was. But it didn't have to necessarily be that way.
According to Rashi, didn't I pay you back?
Right. So therefore, according to Rashi, we're talking about the person himself, the loiva. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, what we're talking about is the Edom. given that these edim are not placed in a position of responsibility, nobody told them atem edai, nobody told them you have to be edus on behalf of this. Therefore, we can't expect them to remember. So when they come and say lahod varma olam that we weren't there for this loan repayment, it may just be that they've forgotten because not that we don't expect them to have to remember.
No,
so therefore, it's not necessarily that they are contradicting him.
According to this, that would mean that the labor didn't
say to the edim, you are edim for this loan repayment.
Right. Another case. Ahuda Amalekhad, right?
That's
Alokhi. Ahuda Amalekhad, like Rabbi. In general, Abaya and Rabbi, Alokhi is like Rabbi.
Not Hukhaka.
Okay. Well,
this is the one Abaya, which is Rabbi.
Another case. One person says to the other, "Give me, pay me back the 600 zuz that you owe me." And the other one answers, didn't I pay you back by giving you 100 kavim of afti? Afti are gallnuts. They're a growth that grows on certain kind of trees, like oak trees and whatever. They have a chemical in them called tannin. You use it for tanning leather. This stuff is very useful. So I paid you back with 100 kavim of these gallnuts, to kind of a shita, where they were selling at the price of 1 pound, whatever it is. But 100 kavim would be like 300 pounds or something. Whatever, to kind of a shita, where each kav sold for 6 zuzim, so therefore I paid you back your whole 600 zuzim. Amalei, so the other one answers, lav. No, they were only selling for 4. For 4 zuz per kav at that time, which means you still owe me another 200. Or some of the Rishonim actually learn that what he's telling him is that I don't believe you at all. You're claiming they were selling for 6 at the time. I'm saying you're not even telling the truth because at the time they were selling for 4. Therefore, I claim that you haven't paid back any of the debt. You didn't give me the. You're claiming they were selling for 6. I'm saying not only the fact that they were selling for 6 is a lie, that it was actually 4. But you didn't give me any gold nuts at all. Nothing. You still owe me the whole 600.
You would know the market price if you really paid.
That's what we're gonna get to. Wait. Okay. Also, Trey Sadi, so 2 Adim came for Omru, and they said, "Ein ba 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 have a kaimi." Indeed, they were selling for 4 zuz per kav at that time. Amar Rava hooks a kafran. So now Rava says, "Okay, well now we have a chazaka that he's a kafran because what he said is contradicted by Adim." Amar Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says to Rava, "Ha Amrit, but isn't it you who just said in the previous case, Kol Milta Dele Rami Alei De Inish Lava Daite, that something that's not the responsibility of a person to remember is not necessarily something that you expect him to remember." Here, over here, he knows that he paid back. He may not remember the specifics, whether he paid back 600 with gold nuts or whether he paid back 400 with gold nuts or something else. But he, as far as 200 in cash or whatever, he's saying he paid back the whole thing. So that's it. However, Amalei Rava says this case is different. The price of things at the time, when that's what it depends on, whether you paid back or not, that you have to know how much you're giving him in order to pay back the full amount, that we expect that people should remember. And now, if he's contradicted by Edim, then he really is a kafran. And that is halacha.
Very good.
So
he has to know.
If he were to just say I paid you back and he doesn't remember the specifics, whether how much gold nuts I gave you versus how much cash or whatever, that's fine. But if he's saying that I gave you X amount of gold nuts and therefore that should have paid off the whole debt, we expect that he should remember. It should be in the forefront of his mind to realize how much these are worth, so he knows whether he's paying back the whole thing or whether he's overpaying or underpaying or whatever. So therefore, we expect that to be a detail that he remembers. Unlike the previous case, where there was no particular condition that he has to pay back in the presence of Adim, here he knows this is an essential thing of paying back the debt. How much you're giving him to satisfy the debt.
By the way, we never said in the initial part of.
Kekesef, unless otherwise specified. We didn't say specifically over here, but the Gemara tells us in other places. In general, any time that one person owes somebody money, whether it's something to Araisa, whether it's something to Rabbanon, whether it's a knack
because
or whatever.
Because the guy accepted it according to his
testimony. Yeah, this is also true, right. But in general, Shava Kesef Kekesef, in general, you're allowed to pay back your debts with anything that's saleable.
So it would be like someone says, I paid you back in gold.
And gold is $800 an ounce. And then it was $1,200 now. Then you look back at the chart, it was only $800 now. You would have known whether you're paying this much gold or
exactly.
not.
Exactly. That's the point. And therefore, so that's the halacha. Okay. Another case. One person says to the other, give me the 100 zuz that you owe me. And here I have the shtar. So the other one says, I already paid you back. Yesterday we had a case where we would say that we
can't just believe you on your word that's paid back. You have to pay, or otherwise you can tell the other guy to take a shiur. However, this case
is a little bit different because Amalei, because the Malva answers back, Hanhu Sitroi, that money, yes, you did give me money, but that money was for Sitroi, literally means the side. It was for a side thing. There was a previous time when I lent you money, or when you owed me money for something else, which I didn't have a shtar for. So therefore, now when you came with the money to repay this loan, I figured, good, let me use it on behalf of the other one, which otherwise I'm not going to have a way to collect from you. So therefore, you still owe me this one.
That predated this one?
Yeah. Or it doesn't matter whether it predated or not, I guess. Amar Rav Nachman, Itra Shtara. So Rav Nachman says, on that basis, therefore, the shtar is now weakened. Because after all, the Malva is admitting that he got money. So there, and he's claiming it's Sitroi, he's claiming it's a different deal, it's a different different transaction, so that weakens the shtar. Now what does it mean, weakens the shtar? You have three or four different opinions among the Rishonim what it means. According to some of the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim, the Rif, for example, says it means the shtar is completely invalid. It's as if now it's a milval pet. Tosfos brings.
He
says that he got money, but he's claiming it's Sitroi. Nevertheless, though, we say it's as if the shtar no longer exists. Yeah. Tosfos brings that Rabbeinu Hananel and Rabbeinu Tam say that what it means is at this point, if the owner of the shtar wants to collect, he's going to have to take a shavua. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel and says Rabbeinu Tam holds the same way. That it means it's not the shtar is completely invalid. It just means that he would have to swear if he wants to collect. Then there's the third variation, I think that Ramban says that what it means is he won't be able to collect.
The fact that he has to take a shore means the shtar
means the shtar is weakened. Right, but still,
it's mostly weakened. But
right. The Ramban brings a possibility that maybe what it means is that he can only collect from the chasim b'nei chorin, not from the chasim b'shabadim. So in that sense also, if it was a full-fledged shtar, he could collect from the chasim b'shabadim. But because like this, then not. And then you have another explanation as well what it means that the shtar is weakened. It slipped my mind right now what it is. But there's another explanation about what it means exactly. Again, it means the shtar. I think the last one is that we say, in other words, we can't collect using this shtar. On the other hand, we're not going to rip it up either. We're not going to say it's completely invalid, but we're not going to allow him to collect with it either. It's kind of be in limbo, sort of, yeah, unless he's evading or whatever. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings two of these opinions. It brings the opinion that it means that the shtar is completely invalid, and it brings the opinion that Tosfos brings over here that he's going to need a shvua.
The Mechaber?
The Mechaber, and the Mechaber and the Ramah, I think, bring these two opinions. So that's it. Those are the opinions that are available. Okay. That's one opinion here in the Gemara, says Rav Nachman. Rav Papa Amaloy Yitzra Shtar. Rav Papa says, never mind all of that. The shtar is not weakened. It has its full force.
Mm.
Okay. The question is, what a papa. My shnami ahuda amal el chavre havle mea zuzid masikna bach vahashtara. According to the papa, why would it be different from the following case that we have, where one person says to the other, give me the 100 zuz that I owe you, that you owe me, vahashtara, and here's the shtar. Amalei, and the other one answers, lav atoda yahavasli, didn't you give me the money for oxen? Which means Rashi explains that they made an iska. They made a deal over here where they're going to use this money to buy oxen and shech them and then divide the profits. We learned about it in Bava Metzia, about the details of making an iska. Now you eventually came and you sat behind the counter over here where they cut up the meat and sell it. The kabbalos zuzach, and you receive your money from that. And the other one answers, Hanu Sitroi. Again, the other one answers that it was Sitroi, that it was in payment of a different debt, not of this one. And Va'omara Papa Itra Shtara, and her Papa says over there that the shtar is weakened. So why in our case over here, not the case of the meat, but just the case of a plain old loan, we're saying that her Papa says the shtar is not weakened by his admission that he received the money. We accept his claim that it was Sitroi, whereas in that case with the meat, with the Iska, we do say that. The answer is, Hossam, Kivin to Omar, Toda Yahavasi, and Toda Shaklas, because over there, since he says, you originally gave me the money in order to buy oxen, and then we'll divide the profit, and you actually took the money from the meat of those very same oxen.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can argue itra shtara. There's a strong claim over there, and therefore we have reason to say the shtar is weakened. Hocha emor sitroi. You know, over here, there's a much stronger reason to say that it really is sitroi. Over there, why would he be taking payment from that very same money if it wasn't to satisfy the conditions of the iska, of the business deal? Whereas over here, when you're giving somebody just cash, it's very logical that he might be taking it in payment of some other debt. So therefore, the Papa says
he should still stipulate it. You cannot just take
money. No, but because actually he might be doing a very smart thing, because otherwise if he tells him at the time, I'm taking this as sitroi,
yeah,
then the other guy might say, well, in that case, why should I give it to you? You have no proof against me for the other loan. So I'll take back my money then. I'm not going to give it to you. When I pay you, it'll be for the one with the shtar. And if you want to go after me for the one without the shtar, take me to Beis Din.
So the Malva might be
smart over here to say, to be quiet until he actually has the money in his hand, then say it was sitroi, and now that's it. He has the money in his hands. He was toifus.
The bird in the hand.
The bird, yeah. Now he's the muchzik. If the other guy wants to get it back from him, so now he's improved his position. But anyway, so the Papa would say that again, when it comes to a loan, you can say that. When it comes to an iska, you can't really say that, because otherwise, what's he doing literally standing there behind the counter and cutting up meat and then getting himself paid out from a certain amount of it if it wasn't to actually be paid back for the iska rather than for something else?
And also, you don't do business with someone if they already owe you money and they're not paying you.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know if that's a consideration. Maybe, but it could also be, for example, you know that this guy is, you know, he might not be so good about paying back his debt, but he is a good shochet, and he is a good butcher. You know, he knows the meat business, and therefore you figure, you know.
I wouldn't do business.
All right, I don't know.
Like that.
All right. So, my havi Allah, so what's the bottom line? What is the halacha as far as the shtar in this first case with Alva? Rapapi Amaloy Etra Shtar. Rapapi says, like Rapapa, that the shtar is not weakened, it still has its full force. Rav Sheshes Beredir of Idi Amar Itra Shtar. Rav Sheshes Beredir of Idi said it is weakened. The Hilchas Itra Shtar. The halacha is that the shtar is weakened. Again, subject to that Machlokas Rishonim about in what sense it's weakened. Is it completely gone, or is it that you can only collect from? Is it you can only collect with a shvua, etc. V'hani mili pare ba'ape sadi. However, this only applies if he paid him in the presence of Edim v'lo idka lo shtara, and at the time when he paid him, the loiva did not mention the shtar, so he didn't say, now that I'm paying you, give me the shtar so that I can rip it up. Aval pare ben diday lididay. But if he only paid him one-on-one, there were no Edim, then we do believe the malva, because he has a migur to yachal loyim lo hayud bar ma'olam. Since there's no edim, and therefore he could have claimed that you never came and paid me b'chal, because the loyva has no proof to that, yachal nam lemeim sitroim, you know, then he is able to say sitroi, he is able to say it is payment for a different debt.
With the loan.
With the loan we're talking about, right.
Not with the ox,
right. The ox is the chida avimi braid rababo. And as in fact, we have a... Yes. And as in fact, we find a case in Ksubas involving Avimi, the son of Rav Abohu, where something exactly like that happened, where he came to repay a debt, and after he had paid it, and it was one-on-one, the other guy told him sitroi, you know, and Rav Abohu told him, the guy has a valid claim. You can't claim that you paid off that debt. Okay. Another case. Hahuda Amar El-Khabre. Could have been for whatever, yeah.
Okay.
Another case. One person says to the other, mehamnously, the lawyer
says to the Malva, I trust you, anytime if you tell me that I haven't paid, then I'm
accepting on myself that I will repay you.
Oh boy,
like a nether.
Not
a nether, really, but that you're taking that responsibility on yourself that I'm willing to accept. As written, what you say. You say I didn't pay you, then fine, I'll
take that. I'm not gonna try defending myself in Beis Din or whatever. I'll just go and pay you. Well, also pare ba'api sadi. In the end, what he did is he paid him in the presence of Edim. Does that work?
What?
Does the Malva now have the ability to go and later claim that he didn't pay him?
It's the reverse case for.
It's sort of the reverse of what we had before. Yeah.
Yes.
Abaya v'Rava d'Amitavayu Hohenes. Abaya and Rava say, okay, look, he said he believed him. Okay, very nice for Adam. Still, he said he believed him, so therefore, if the Malva were now to take him to Basin and say, you didn't pay, then he would be obligated to pay again. However,
says
Abaya and Rava. However, Maski for a Papa, but a Papa asks on that. How can you say that? Nihi dehemni tfemi nafshe. Fine, all he said is, I believe you more than me. Your claim will outweigh my claim. But, tfemi sadi mihemne, did he say that he believes him more than Adim? No, so therefore Adim still outweigh that. So that the Adim outweigh that, and therefore the fact that he paid him in the presence of Adim, that's good enough, and the Malva has no further claim.
So a Papa takes care of Abaya and Rava.
Yes, a Papa was a Talmud of both of those, yeah.
Very nice.
Okay. Another case. Now we have a different case where the loiva says to the malva, mehemnesli kibay trei, I will trust you like true, like Aiden. Kol emes da'amet loy paraino, whenever you say I didn't pay.
That's it.
Well, now, ozo pare ba'apit swafi, he paid him in the presence of three Aiden. Does that work? He only said, I trust you as much as two. Well, now he paid him in the presence of three. Is that enough to override it?
Yeah.
Amar Papa. So now Papa says, okay, kibay trei hemne, kibay tzlosalai hemne. He only said he believes him like two, not like three. So therefore, the three Adim outweigh the Malva. So therefore, that's it. It's paid off.
He knew what he was doing, getting three Adim. He must.
However, Amalei Rav Huna Breja of Yeshua Amar Papa. However, Rav Huna Breja of Yeshua says to Papa, no. Emer de Amir Rabbanan da Azlinin Basa Rav Deis. It is true that in certain cases the Chachamim say we go according to the majority of people, and Rashi brings from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so we'll get to it in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, where you have a case over there where a person says that I'm willing to sell something based on the evaluation of three people.
Mm-hmm.
So then you don't need all three of them to agree on the evaluation, even if you have a majority, two out of three. But if he says that I want all three of them to agree, then you need three. And if he says I want four, then you need four, etc. So in some cases, that Rabbanon, we see that the Rabbanon say that you go according, that the number of people is significant, that three outweigh two, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Hanimula L'Inyun Umdana. That's when we're talking about people evaluating how much something is worth, and how much something is worth, I should say. And the reason is, there's logic there. Kamad and Efishi, the key to faith. Because the more people you have, the more opinions, the more likely, the more accurate the evaluation is going to be. Avala Indian Adus, but when it comes to Adus, we have Xeris Akosu, Mea Ketre or Tre Kamea. 100 Adim are no stronger than two. Two are no weak, are no stronger than 100. So therefore, that's it. He said, I trust you like two Adim. So even three Adim are not any stronger than two. All you have is two against two.
The two Adim can make 1,000 people Adim payment.
Yeah.
Is less than two, two much more than less than one or no Adim?
No, so in other words, Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua is arguing, once he said, I trust you like two Adim, even he has three Adim, even he has 100 Adim on his side, doesn't matter. So, nevertheless, we can still accept the Malva's, claim that he wasn't paid back. Okay, you might say then you have Adim against Adim.
Therefore, we're not sure what it is, but therefore we might have Shmuel or whatever. But we can't just say that he has Adim on his side and he takes back, and therefore that's Adim. Mishnah, a different version of this last case.
Is Ahud Amalei Lechavre? He says to the other person, "Mehemnasli kibet shei. I trust you like two. Kolaymas damet like paraina. If you say that I didn't pay back, again, ozel pare ba'apitz losa. He paid him back in the presence of three.
So Amalei Papa kibet shei. Hemnas kibet losa like that. So the Papa said you only believe in like two, not like three. So far, this is the same as the first motion. Mark before the Huna Breda Bishur, the Huna Breda Bishur just said, without bringing in the whole thing about Umdana, never mind, when some say this today, tomato, maybe it's today, two are like 100.
100 are like two, today, 40. So it comes out the same as the first Lashon, it's just, did Huna Breda Bishur bring in the detail about Umdana, or did he just go straight to the fact that there's a problem? I don't know if there is necessarily enough in it. Okay. The E Amalek Beit Slosa, however, so in that, by the way, the halacha is like a Huna Breda of Yeshua,
which is therefore that he doesn't have
the ability to say, well, I already paid back because here's my three Adim, because his three Adim are no stronger than the Malva's effective two Adim.
Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua is not Rav Huna, the predecessor of Rav, or the...
No, it's not, no. This is a Huna Breda of Yeshua, the Talmud of Rava.
Of Rava, right.
So he's a peer. They're a peer. So what should he do, by the way, if he wants to make a case?
Two generations.
And he's one generation left of Nachman.
The same generation of Nachman of the same generation. So what should we want to make sure that when he comes back to death, that the model is not going to have any further claims? Make sure to ask for the star back,
or make sure to have him write a shover, and that way you're safe.
Okay.
However, you almost like a bait slosser. However, if the lawyer said, I trust you like three Aegon,
but all the powers are out of their boss, and then came back in the front of the four Aegon, that's different. Given the knock of the because there, if you just said, I trust you like two Aegon,
two is the default number of Aegon. So therefore, two is like 100.
But once he says three, it means, in other words, we're not just talking from the point of view of Aegon. Now we're actually talking from the point of view of the actual number of people.
Well, then,
I'll get you a T.
So therefore, so in that case, if he pays back in the presence of four Aegon,
so beyond two,
then already would say, yeah, right. Okay.
We said any one of our clients shows the cotton, they must be at the cotton. We said in the Mishnah that you don't swear on a claim from a cheddar shows the cotton, and you also don't make them swear in this. My Simon, now why should that be? Why are cheddar shows the cotton? Why should you sign it? If they come with a sign in, then why should you have to swear on it? That doesn't matter, but that's the man.
They don't have gas, maybe, but even for example, a cotton, we learned in Bava Basra that we said that a kid between 6 and 10, you know, some kids between 6 and 10 years old, most kids after 10 years old are already savvy enough about money and about business to be able to
give them necessarily.
That's the question. Well, that's the question. Why not?
Right. Why not?
The answer, well, why shouldn't? Why not? The answer is, oh, one second, I'll tell you what the Rishonim talk about this. The reason is, so the Pasuk introduces the whole concept of Shavua. It says, an Ish gives to his friend, thank you, money or Kalim to watch. The giving of a cotton can't really be considered giving. So therefore, in other words, once the Pasuk is saying ish, then it means it has to be an ish. So not a cotton, and therefore not also a cheresh shoytev, and therefore not also a cheresh and shoytev.
That's giving. Who says?
Well, so therefore, in other words, so there is a machlokas rishonim about this.
Okay.
There is a machlokas rishonim about this.
Read it to be the Sara Mashkin.
Okay.
There is a machlokas
rishonim about this. All we're talking about now, you keep in mind the cases where the Torah says you have to swear a Shavua, you have cases where there's a taina, where the other guy, for example, says you owe me 100, and the other guy counterclaims I only owe you 50, or he denies the whole thing, but there's one aid. But then you have cases, there's not necessarily a taina.
In the case of Shomrim, there doesn't necessarily have to be a taina. The master says, I deposited my ox, or my money, or my kingdom,
or whatever with you, where is it? And the other guy says it was stolen or lost or onus or what have you. There's not really a taina over there. At the most, there's a taina shema. You're saying that it was lost, but I'm saying maybe not. Maybe you were pesheya, maybe whatever. When we say over here, you're not nishvarin al tainas cotton, does it mean across the board, whether he's making a tainas bari or a tainas shema, or is it only when he's making a tainas shema? Is it maybe even when the cotton, is it maybe if the cotton is making a tainas bari, maybe if the cotton is making a tiniest body, maybe we would swear on such a thing.
Okay, well, that's my whole thing about it. As usual, when you have the return, you don't have a high authority.
The riff is about that.
Not yet. Okay, you said Avon is burning the cotton blast, but then you continue to the Mishnah that you do swear to a cotton and blast.
Fish? So what do you mean? What do you mean? You just said you don't swear on the tina of a cotton. So what is the case when you're swearing to a cotton? The answer is Omer Rav, the bob the tina of it. So Rav says the case where you would have to swear to him is where he's coming based on his father's tina. In other words, it's not the cotton himself is saying, I lent you money, for example, and now where is it? He's saying my father lent you money, or my father gave you a picadon or whatever. So his father was an ish. So therefore you would have to swear to him.
Father passed away. Rabbi Levin. Yeah, his father passed away.
Rabbi
Levin
and Yaakov.
So therefore, our Mishnah,
what
it says, you would have to
clearly
say, is
Rabbi Levin and Yaakov.
The Tanya,
Rabbi Levin
and
Yaakov, remember?
Is that Kavanaki? I don't know if it's the same Rabbi Levin and Yaakov as Kavanaki, but wait, actually, the truth is, I mentioned the other day in the Mishnah
that you had the Rambam and the Ravid argue about what it says in our Mishnah about when he says Mona la Abba b'yodcha, and then the other one says I only owe you 50. We said he's potter because he's meishav aveda. Is that the halacha, which is how the Rambam paskins, or is it not? Is it maybe only like Rabbi Lezman Yaakov? And in that case, then the halacha wouldn't necessarily be like it. So this may not be one of the cases where the halacha is like Rabbi Lezman Yaakov.
Meaning that it's maybe not the same one.
Maybe it's not the same one. Right. Because it's only, right. Right. The time of Levin and Yaakov is often shot. Sometimes you can have where a person ends up having to swear based on his own time.
A person himself, yeah.
But not a kid.
We're not talking about the kid swearing. The kid swearing that we said you never do.
Because I don't know the whole world of swore. But to say that we swear to the time of a kid, we're saying sometimes you do. And our
mission would
be giving such an example based on
our Lord's Mayaki. If the person says to the cotton, your father lent me a mana.
The half is stuck, and I gave him back the half a mana, so I still have the half. So he's a murder of it.
That's Harez and Nishba, then he has to swear. Vizosh and Nishba al-Tayna Satsma. So there you have where he's swearing on his own China. Where's the Chachamim answer? No, in that case, he would be like a Meshav Aveda. He's returning a lost object, and therefore he would be Potter. Here also, by the way, you have, in the Mishnah, Rashi had said, in the Mishnah, now, we have, when we say Meshav Aveda, usually that refers to a Takana of the Chachamim that we learned about in Gittin, that a Meshav Aveda doesn't have to swear when we pay Tikkun Olam. Classic example is a person comes in to return a lost object, and the other guy says, I had actually lost more than that. You kept some of it for yourself. We don't say that the first guy is a murder mixer, and he should have to swear. We say tikkun olam, because otherwise nobody's ever going to want to return a lost object.
And that's the case. Okay,
so Rashi learns that it's the same thing. In other words, that Meshav Aveda, the takana, is the same thing over here. A number of other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say there's actually two different cases. There's a case where the Torah itself would consider him potter from a shavua on the grounds of Meshav Aveda. Then you have cases where, nevertheless, you would have a case where you would have cases where midaraisa there would be a situation where midaraisa he would have to swear. But nevertheless, the chacham impacted him even in those cases because meishav aveda. So in other words, not necessarily is the meishav aveda over here.
It would consider in the second category. It's not. It's still meishav aveda.
So in other words, there could be cases where even though you're a meishav aveda, the Torah would still require you to swear. But nevertheless, even in those cases, the Chachamim exempted you in order to induce people to return things. What? So when we say over here, Chachamim ene elik meishav aveda or potter, according to Rashi, we're referring to the takana of the Chachamim. According to many of the other Rishonim, we're talking about the din d'oraisa, the basic din d'oraisa, that he's not chayav shavur in that case, say the Chachamim. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, less by meishav aveda potter, doesn't Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agree with that concept also? Again, whether we're talking about the d'oraisa or the takana of the d'rabbanon, either way, he agrees with it, yeah? In fact, Tosfos says, actually, if nothing else, he should be potter based on a migui.
Yeah,
he could have denied everything, right? The answer is, Amar Rav Shatane Kotan.
The answer is that we're talking about the cotton. The yotan is the one who says that. We're talking about the cotton took on the basis.
So what do you mean cotton? Va'amate nishvar natana skater shayt the cotton. You said in the Mishnah that you don't swear on such a case. So the answer is no. La'olam gadol.
No, when we say the cotton, we don't mean that actually he is physically right now still a cotton. He is a gadol now, and he may have even been a gadol when his father died.
No, by my kodol a cotton. Why are we calling him a cotton? The legabe mila davu a cotton, because relative to his father's affairs, he's a cotton because a son doesn't always know all the details of his father. Yeah, we had this concept before. Yeah,
I don't
remember where exactly in Ksubis, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so when it comes to his father's affairs, when it comes to his father's finances, he can be called a cotton. So that would be the case, in other words. So it's not a tainus cotton. The guy is a gadol. But nevertheless, we're saying, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that he has to swear. Whereas the Chum would say he's a Meshav Aveda.
Okay. You don't want to say
that would be a acting on behalf of the Chum.
That's what I'm saying. He's not a Chum. He's a gadol. So they can only say, no need for an apotropos.
No, but the point is, in other words, if he was still a cotton and he had an apotropos, fine, but the apotropos is not acting on his own, he's acting on behalf of the cotton,
right.
So it would still amount to a tainus cotton.
Yeah.
the apotropos is only, he's only claiming whatever he knows.
Yeah, but we can say he's not a customer.
In the end, we don't even need that, right? Because However, though, the Gemara says, he tainas atzma. So what do you mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is calling it tainas atzma, his own claim? Tainas achayim. This is a taina from somebody else. Isn't it? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, kamim shadim nishval tainas atzma. 6 lines from the bottom. So if that's the case, if now you're understanding that the claimant is actually, the plaintiff is actually a gadol, then it's tainas achayim. It's a claim from somebody else, like any other claimant based in. The answer is, okay, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means is tainas achayim v'hajas atzma. Okay, what it means is it's a taina from somebody else, but it's his own admission that makes him have to swear. Right. But the question is, that's true of most tainas. So then, so what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean? Palmim, that sometimes this happens. What does the Rabbanan mean by arguing by that? That Rabbanan also know that sometimes that happens. Now, Ela v'dirabba kamifli. No, rather what we say is that. So now there's a difference in Gersoyes over here. Rashi and Tosfos over here. I'll go to the word Ella. And when the Gemara says Ella, it means we're rejecting the previous answer and we're going to
say that. We forget about the answer that he was
gone. We're calling him a cousin only because he's not familiar with his father's finances. We're going back to the case that he was a cousin, that he was a cousin when he actually made this claim. And in that case, then we're saying, so why would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov make him have to swear, given we said in the Mishnah that you don't swear on a pious cousin? So that's one way of learning what the Gemara is saying. The other way, which is Rabbi Chananel and some of the other Rishonim, don't have the word Ella in their Girsa, and they say that, no, we still are accepting the point that he was a Gadol. The reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is calling it Tainas Atzmai is based on what Rabbah is saying.
That?
Which is, well, let's see, the Rabbah comes for you. They're arguing regarding what Rabbah said. The Omer Rabbah, Mifnei Ma Omer Torah Moedah Mitzvah Tainy Yeshava. Why, Bechlal, does the Torah tell us that a Moedah Mitzvah has to swear? You can ask, he should have a migui that he could have denied the whole thing. Why are you only swearing in that case, not a kofa hakel? The reason is, chazaka ain't not a meiz ponav of nebal chayv. Because we have a chazaka, that a person is not going to be so chutzpedik as to deny the entire thing, to deny to his bal chayv. Which, by the way, there was machloikas Rashi and Tosfos on that in the Gemara and Baba Kama when we learned this. Rashi learns that this principle applies only to a case where the guy did him a favor. Why would he not be made as punim? Because look, this guy did me a favor and lent me money and I should have the chutzpah to go deny it to his face. I wouldn't do that.
It's not a universal principle.
So Rashi would hold, for example, it does not apply to a pikadon, let's say. If we're talking not about a loan, but rather a pikadon, then the guy would have no problem denying the whole thing.
Totally, because we said
there were daft that had like 2.5 lines on it or something, and there was a Tosfos that took up most of the page, where Tosfos discusses this at some length, this and some other issues in Baba Kama. So about a year ago. And Tosfos says that no, what it means is a person is not going to be so brazen as to deny something where he knows that the other guy obviously knows the truth, that it's not so. So therefore, it would apply even to Rabbi Kama. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
So what is the...
1 second. The high b'chulei boyd l'chbere. So therefore... We did say the other day that we have the concept of Shavuot Tesis because even though you have that chazaka, on the other hand, it's not always the case. And eventually that was breaking down and they saw that sometimes people are being made fun of and therefore they made the Shavuot Tesis in order to ferret those out. But we're talking on the Doraita and the original Dirabanan level. So really the guy would have wanted to deny the whole thing. But he can't, psychologically, he's blocked from it because he can't be made upon of like that. And on the other hand, in that case, then he might as well admit to the whole thing. Why in that case is he being kofer on part of it? Why is he being motivated mixed up? Because by rights he ought to admit to the whole thing, because he knows the truth, that he owes the whole thing. The reason why he doesn't admit the whole thing is to muti hod to come ishtamizine, because he's trying to evade it for the time being. So he figures, I want to wait until I can get together enough money, or parainale, and then I'll pay him back.
We said
that the other day, similarly with Shavuot Tesis, right? Therefore, Rachmana Amar Rompi Shavuot Elavei. So that is the case where the Torah says, don't say that he's choshered on Mammon and therefore he's choshered on a Shavuot, and don't allow him to swear. No, assume that he's only denying part of it because he's trying to stall for time, but he's not really choshered on money. He's not really a thief. Therefore, make him swear. That way he will, if he doesn't, he's not going to be willing to swear falsely, especially after based in reason the Riot Act, like we said the other day. So therefore, he will end up admitting that he owes the whole thing. And that's it. Then we have it on the record that he owes the whole thing. So, given that point of Rabbah's, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will hold that the same rule applies to the original Malva as well as to his son. He won't have the chutzpah to deny the whole thing. So therefore, you can't say that. When Rabbah was saying, this is what Rabbah was saying before, that why the Torah imposes the Shavuah on a Moedim Mitzvah, part of what Rabbah is explaining is, why don't we apply the same Meshav Aveda rule as before? We just said before that if you admit part of the claim in the case of an Aveda, let's say, then we believe you and you don't have to swear any further because we want to induce you to return Avedas, to return lost objects, without taking the risk that the other guy is going to claim I lost more than it really was. By the way, I once read a story involving Rabbi Elchaim Meisel. I think I may have told it before. I don't remember. Involving Rabbi Elchaim Meisel, the Rav of Lodz, about 100 years ago. He was known as a very smart guy. The one time a yid comes to him with a problem that a poritz had lost his purse with 100 rubles in it or something. This yid found it, returned it to the poritz, expecting his reward. And the poritz claims there were 200 rubles, 2,000, whatever rubles in there. And now he's taking him to court.
To make a long story short, what Rabbi Elchaim does is he tells the lawyer,
have this poritz swear in court over there that his purse actually contained 2,000 rubles. Once he does that, then the lawyer says, okay, listen, on the other hand, you have to realize, I mean, my client is an honest guy. I mean, he could have kept the whole 1,000 for himself. Nobody would have been the wiser. So obviously the purse that he found is not the same one that's poritz lost. So let him keep the purse until the actual owner of it shows up. And meanwhile, poor poritz. Okay, eventually maybe his purse with the 2,000 is somewhere out there. And the judge accepted that, and that was the end of that. Yeah. So in halacha,
who was the rav?
The rav was Rav Elchaim Meisel of Lodz. He was known to be a very cluggy. Rav Eliyahu Chaim Meisel of Lodz. Yeah.
I didn't know who it was. I heard the story back when we did it whether it's Tzivos or from the other Daf Yomi.
Okay. Anyway. So the point is that Rabbah is getting to the point like this. So why, when it comes to a motive of a mitzvah, given that he could have denied the whole thing, why don't we call him a Meshav Aveda and Pater and Meshavur? And the answer is because psychologically he can't deny the whole thing. So now, how far does that rule go? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds it applies not only to the original Malva or Maskid or whatever, but also to his son. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I agree there was a case of Meshav Aveda, but this isn't it. Because you can't say that he has a nigui. You can't say that he's a Meshav Aveda, that he's doing the honest thing and returning the part that he really does owe, and he really doesn't owe the rest, and we want to induce him to do the right thing. No, psychologically, he would never have denied the whole thing. So therefore, he's not a Meshav Aveda. So therefore, not a Migo, yeah.
And therefore,
yes. Therefore, he has to swear. But Rabbanan Savri, b'fon of Hudeinu Meiz, Abba b'fnei b'noi Meiz, that Rabbanan will hold that no, he won't be Meiz to the original lender because he did him a favor, according to Rashi, or to the original Maskid, according to Tosfos, because he knows the truth. But to his son, he might well be Meiz, because he figures the son doesn't really know the facts, so he didn't do him a favor or whatever. Umidaloi Meiz, Meshav Aveda. Since he's not Meiz, you can call him a Meshav Aveda, and therefore he's part of Meshavur. So that would be the Machlokes. Right. Okay, the problem with that is me mutis mukmas. So fine. So far we're left with then if we understand the Mishnah that way, the Mishnah is saying like this, normally you don't swear on the taina of a katan, where it's his own taina, but if he's coming machmas of it, if he's coming with a claim that my father lent you X amount or whatever, then you do have to swear on it.
Because he wouldn't have been meiz
against the son, and therefore he doesn't have a nigger, he doesn't have nothing, and therefore he has to swear. Okay. The problem with that is, me mutis mukmas lakar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. How can you make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Hakatani Resha, we have the previous part of the Mishnah had said, Mona la'aba b'yadcha. We said, so we had two cases in the Mishnah. The first one where he says, you owe my father a mona, and the other one says that I only owe you 50 dinar. We said he's potter because he's Meshav Aveda. Then we had the case. So that was the one case. And then later on in the Mishnah, we talk about swearing on the taina of a cotton or not. If you're going to say that that part about swearing on the taina of a cotton is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the later part of the Mishnah, yeah. Then what about the reisha of the Mishnah, which said, mona l'ava b'yadcha, you owe my father a mona. And he answers, ein l'cha b'yadi ala chamishim, I only owe 50. Chamishim dinar, potter. We said he's potter from the Shavua, but neshem eshev avedahu. So then, how would that fit? So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're going to say, presumably, the whole Mishnah would go like him. Then in that case, you should say he's chayav, because now Meshav Aved. The answer is, hasam dolay, I'm a bori li, hachadam a bori li. The difference is, that in that first case of the Mishnah, is the heir, the yostam, is not saying, bori, I know for a fact that you owe it. I believe that you owe my father this money. And the other one answers, no, as a matter of fact, I only owe 50. Well, then he's a Meshav Aved.
That.
He could have Adim, he could have, he looked through his father's papers,
because he didn't know his father.
No, but you can still have that. There can be a case where
he
can still have body.
Some kind of
he can have some kind of evidence. He can have Adim, for example.
Yeah, a piece of paper, Adim,
yeah.
Something more than his own memory.
Whatever it is, he has. There can be a case where bodily, and therefore that's when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say he has to swear. Okay. Shmuel.
Because he has to swear because
the other guy is coming with a tiny body.
Both cases of the Mishnah, therefore, are talking about a tainus cotton, but one is talking about where it's a tainus sheva, where even there was a yakut agreed to the nature of it, yeah? And the other one will be talking about a tainus
body when not. So again, this is why, on the basis of this Gemara, is what brings the Raiva to say that halacha can't be like the first part of our Mishnah, because it's only like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and halacha is not necessarily like it. But the Rambam paskins like it. Okay. Shmuel says I have a different explanation of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you swear to a cotton, it means, what does it mean? Lakotan means liparam minichse cotton. It means the other way around. It means that if you're not
claiming
money from you and you're going to be swearing to be potter. We're talking about the other way around. You previously lent money to the father. You are coming now to, you're coming now to be paid back out of the nechassim that were inherited. So even you have a shtar, you also have to swear. Because in general, when you want to collect from nichse yisayimim, to collect from the nechassim of the cotton, then means that you have to swear. And similarly, when the Mishnah said that you swear to hektish, means liparam minichse hektish, means if you want to be paid back from hektish, that you have a case, for example, where somebody was machtish all of his property, then there comes out a shtar chayv that he owed somebody money, and that person wants to collect. Now that all that property is in the possession of hektish, you're going to need to swear in order to collect.
What are you going to swear?
You're going to swear that you haven't been paid back yet. So the question is, in that case, then what's the chiddush? Lakotn liparim nichseh katan tanena. Then we learn that explicitly in a Mishnah later on in the next parak. We say minichsi yisayim lipara el mishvor. We say that if you're collecting from nichsi yisayim, you have to do it with a shvor. Tauti lomali. So what do you need two Mishnayos? It's just the same thing. The answer is hakamashmon kedah bayik shisha. Our Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush. They're teaching us a chiddush within this din, in accordance with what Abaye Kshisha says. This is not the regular Abaye, the colleagues of Rava. This is an older one. Kshisha means the older one. So to Tony Abaye Kshisha, Yisaimin Shamru, these Yisaimin that we're talking about that you can only collect from their Nechasim with a Shvura, Gdolim means even if they're adults. The in Sarachloim Ktanim, needless to say the Ktanim, Bein L'Shvura, this is true as far as the din that you need to swear before you're going to collect from it. Bein Luziburis, and it's also true as far as the din, where usually a Balchoy would collect from Beininis, but when he's collecting from Yisoyim, he's downgraded to Ziburis. That also applies even if the Yisoyim over here are Gdolim. Even if they're adults. He's always going to get Ziburis. So therefore, you have two Mishnayos, our Mishnah, and the one later on, the next parak, one
for the case where they're actually the case where
he gets the same money, but
he gets it in a larger amount.
What about this that Shmuel is explaining that as far as swearing to hektish means if you want to collect from this property that became hektish, you're going to have to swear? again, Tanaina, we have a Mishnah that says, the same Mishnah, that says, Minachosim v'shabodim lo yiparu ela b'shavua, that if you're collecting from Nachosim v'shabodim, then you can only collect the Shavua, and that doesn't matter. Malim v'shabodim lehedyet, malim v'shabodim legavaya. Whether they're v'shabodim in the sense that they were sold to a third-party hedyet, or whether they were given to Hekdish, either way, it's not in the hands of the original loiver, so of course you have to swear what's the chiddush. The answer is itzrich. We still need both mishnayos. Because you might think like this. In the case of a hedyet, you might have that the loiva and the malva together are making a conspiracy over here. They're going to say the loiva is going to falsely claim that he still owes the money. This way the malva will end up taking it away from that third party, and then the malva and the loiva will split it.
The knunia is that there's a third party
who bought property
at
sometime during the life of the loan.
Right.
But now,
loan, right.
Right. Because if he had bought it before the loan was taken out, then it's not Mishabot.
And so the kid.
Not the kid.
The lender,
no. Hold on. I'm talking about the kid. Now we're talking about the lender and the borrower when the kids were before.
Okay.
Loiva and Malva. So now we're talking about the loiva, instead of saying that he actually paid it off, which now keeps this other guy off the hook. The loiva is going to falsely admit in front of Adam that I didn't pay back yet. The Malva is then going to go take it away from the third party. And now they're going to split it. Yeah. So when it comes to a head yet, people might do that. But by hektish, you would think people respect hektish. They're not going to make a knunyan. Meis panim is a different thing. That's not. Meis panim, but nebal chayva is not the same thing as going and then falsely. Yeah, people are not going to falsely take away from hektish. People realize hektish is serious business. So you would think that maybe not. Kamash malon, that is a chiddush. That nevertheless, we are concerned about that, and therefore we make him swear before he's going to collect.
So it's not stronger than me.
Even if it's hektish. So therefore, we're going to make him swear the same way as you
would have thought that hektish would give you.
Would give him that people have a fear of hektish. Yes,
but nonetheless, we do swear.
Nothing
and that's the whole thing about Meila.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Meila
okay.
is
thing if you. If
sure.
No one ever does anything against hektish, you would never have the
mitzvah.
Well, me'ilah usually is when it's mishogeg, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
different.
So it could be mitzvah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, fine. All right, let's finish off over here. The question is, but what about, we see a case where we're not worried about Knunyan and Hektish. A Shchiv Merah, who's on his deathbed, who's Makdish all of Nechassim, but Omer Mona L'Ploini B'Yadi, and he says, however, I owe Ploini Mona, so therefore make sure that to collect that out of the Nechassim, Neman, then we believe him, Chazaka Ein Adamais Knunyan Hektish, a person is not going to make a Knunyan Hektish, so why are we concerned about that he might? The answer is Amri. The answer, Hanimil Shchiv Merah. That's different in the case of Shchiv Merah because he's not going to gain from it. The Einanam Choyte V'loy Loy. A person is not going to do an Avera where the beneficiary is going to be somebody else. He himself is going to die soon.
Why don't we give this answer? Why don't we say Shchiv Merah's words are like Emet?
Shchiv Merah's words are like Emet is a different matter. That means if he says to give somebody X amount, then that's it. It's considered as if it's written and delivered. Not necessarily for this. We can't necessarily say that everything he says you can take to the bank. However, in this case, we're going to say that because he's a Shchiv Merah and he himself doesn't stand to benefit from this Knunya, he's not going to do it in order to benefit his heirs. Avol Gavid Bari, but when it comes to a Bari where he himself may end up enjoying it, Bade Chashin, and then certainly we are concerned about a Knunya for Hektish, yeah, for a healthy person, and therefore, again, we're going to impose a Shvua, and we figure a Shvua, a person is going to be worried about the seriousness of it enough, given what Beis Din tells him before they make the Shvua and everything, that he'll withhold himself from doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.